Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's a wee bit wet out there, isn't it? What a day. But it's good to be together here in God's house. So welcome to you all, and welcome to those joining online, either at this time or later today or in the week. Let us worship God. We sing the hymn 124, hymn 124, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. The call to prayer comes from Psalm 37. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Let us pray. Gracious God, in the beauty of holiness we wait before you. You have blessed us beyond our deserving, and as we ponder anew your goodness to us, we join with all creation in offering you our praise. Almighty God, in a world of constant flux, you remain the same, and we can depend on you. Teach us to be thankful, and help us to live lives that bear witness to your love, care, and mercy. Lord God, your kingdom will endure forever. Instead of cluttering our lives with so much that can never satisfy, enable us to empty ourselves so that we may be filled by you, and so find peace and joy and fulfillment in this life. Gracious God, for words spoken in haste that have caused hurt, for deeds that have grieved you and distressed others, for all our faults and failings, forgive us, and in your grace mould and remake us, that we may become more like Jesus, the one who is the rock of our salvation. Almighty God, giver of every good and perfect gift, open our eyes, our minds, and our hearts to who and what you are, and bless us now as we dedicate our lives and all that we have to you. These things we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and together as the one people, we say the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen. There will be a further time of prayer in the McMichael Chapel following the service today. You are very welcome to join us there. The Tuesday group will meet in the parish halls this coming Tuesday at 2 p.m. when I will address the group. Please don't let that boot you off from coming along. Come for the fellowship and for the afternoon tea. It will be good to see you. There'll be a service in Eccles Court on Wednesday, also at 2 p.m. The final soup and sandwich lunch for this session will be in the parish halls on Saturday at 12 noon. Please do come along if you can. As you know, Tony is taking part in a sponsored organathon on the 8th of March. And Tony was in touch with me yesterday to say that the congregation has been very generous in the support that has been given. Thank you for that, and there's still time to sponsor Tony if you would like to. Holy Communion will be celebrated during the service a fortnight today, and a fortnight this evening at 7 o'clock there'll be a short contemplative service in the McMichael Chapel. There'll be a reading, a short, brief meditation, a time of prayer and silence, and some music. You'll be very welcome. There's reference there to the Lenten Bible study, which will take place in March and the 1st of April, and the Easter Holiday Club, which will take place in April too. Registration forms are now available and are out there in the main vestibule of the church, and a meeting in connection with the Holiday Club will be held in Park Church, and I made a mistake there, it's not Wednesday, but Tuesday, the 4th of March at 7:30. I would ask you to remember the Holiday Club in your prayers. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to be honest with me. How many of you watched The Crown on Netflix? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I thought more of you might have watched it. I watched it, and of course it's a fictional dramatization of the royal family over the years. And in one scene, the Duke of Edinburgh and the Queen are in a sitting room, and the Duke suggests to the Queen that she has a favourite child. That out of her four children, there's one she favours most. Well, of course, the Queen denied it, but the Duke's question made her think, did she actually have a favourite child? The story of Joseph is well known. He was one of 12 brothers in the family of Jacob, and Joseph was very, very much his father's favourite child. And Jacob showed it in different ways. And one way in which he showed how highly he favoured Joseph was to buy him a coat of many colours. And that act irked Joseph's brothers. And there was something else that irked them, because Joseph had a gift of being able to interpret dreams. And in one dream, he could see that the day would come when his brothers would bow down before him. Now, perhaps rather unwisely, Joseph told the brothers about the dream, and that really was the straw that broke the camel's back. The brothers decided they had to do something with Joseph, so they came up with a plan. They would kill him. A wee bit drastic, that. Thankfully, one of the brothers, Reuben, said, no, we can't kill him. Let's put him into a pit. And that's what they did. They stripped Joseph of his coat of many colours, and they put him into a pit. And then sometime later, when traders were passing by, they took Joseph out of the pit and they sold him into slavery. Well, fast forward the clock, and the time came when Joseph, who had done rather well for himself, encountered his brothers. He played a wee trick on them, but then, realizing it was the right thing to do, he forgave them for the way they had treated him. I'm sure you'll agree with me when I say it takes a big heart to forgive those who hurt us or betray us. But there's no getting away from the fact that that is what God asks of us. And isn't that what we pray? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. It's not easy. It's something that we have to work at. But Joseph shows us it is possible. And for that reason, he is an example worthy of following. Amen. Now, I hope you've got plenty of puff in your lungs for this next hymn. It's a good going hymn, and Tony's going to play a full introduction, and then we'll stand to sing hymn 692, Jesus Puts This Song Into Our Hearts.
The reading this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 45, verses 3 to 11 and verse 15. And the second reading is taken from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 38. And you'll find these both on page 39 and 54 of the Pew Bible. So Genesis 45, verses 3 to 11 and verse 15. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Can my father still be alive?" They were so dumbfounded at finding themselves face to face with Joseph that they could not answer. Joseph said to them, "Come closer to me." And when they did so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, who you sold into Egypt. Now do not be distressed or blame yourselves for selling me into slavery here. It was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For there have now been 2 years of famine in the land, and there will be another 5 years with neither ploughing nor harvest. God sent me on ahead of you to ensure that you will have descendants on earth, and to preserve for you a host of survivors. It is clear that it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me Pharaoh's chief counselor, lord over his whole household, and ruler over all Egypt. Hurry back to my father and give him this message from his son Joseph. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me without delay. You will live in the land of Goshen and be near you, me, you, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds and all that I have. I shall provide for you there and see that you and your household and all that you have are not reduced to want, for there are still 5 years of famine to come." He then kissed each of his brothers and wept over them. After that, his brothers were able to talk with him. Chapter 6. "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who treat you spitefully. If anyone hits you on the cheek, offer the other also. If anyone takes your coat, let him have your shirt as well. Give to everyone who asks you. If anyone takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others as you would like them to treat you. If you love only those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. Again, if you do good only to those who do good to you, what credit is there in that? Even sinners do as much. And if you lend only wherever you expect to be repaid, what credit is there in that? Even sinners lend to each other to be repaid in full. But you must love your enemies and do good and lend without expecting in return, and you will have a rich reward. You will be sons of the Most High, because he himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Give, and gifts will be given to you. Good measure, pressed and shaken down and running over, will be poured into your lap, for whatever measure you deal out to others will be dealt out to you in turn." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Callum. New every morning is the love our wakening and uprising prove. Hymn 214.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, as we rejoice in your great kindness to us, we remember that you call us to embody the love of Christ in our words and actions, to be a generous and forgiving people, and to treat others as we ourselves would wish to be treated. Acknowledging our human frailty and the desire we often have to repay wrong with wrong, give us the strength we need that we may forgive as we know ourselves to be forgiven and to love even our enemies. Lord God, we pray for the world at this time. It is a world in which conflict and hatred prevail, and in which so many live in fear. Give to those in positions of power and authority a passion for peace and the wisdom to know your will and to do it. Almighty God, we pray for humanity. We pray for all who are persecuted and despised because of their faith, and for those who curse and insult and hurt them. We pray for victims of war and intolerance, and for those who perpetuate violence and crime. We pray for those who suffer through no fault of their own, and for those who do. Gracious God, whose compassion excludes no one, and who hears the cries of all in need, be with the lonely, the anxious, the hungry and the homeless, the sick, and those who mourn. Today, as a congregation, we pray for the families and friends of Hammy Forsyth, Ian Johnston, Bobby Patterson, Jason Steele, and Len Redpath. May they and all in our thoughts today know your presence and be upheld by you, the help of the helpless. Lord God, your love holds us in this life and will hold us in the life to come. We give thanks for the faithful in every age and for those we have known and loved. Keep us in unbroken fellowship with them and lead us in the way everlasting. Through Jesus Christ, our Master and our friend. Amen. We worship God in the hymn 693, Help Us Forgive, Forgiving Lord the Wrong That Others Do. Martin Luther King Jr.'s home was burned down one night by a group of white men who did not like his message about equality and justice. The situation after the fire was extremely tense. Black people, under the leadership of Dr. King, were becoming increasingly confident and were less willing to be oppressed and neglected by society. And they were angry. Angry about the way they had been treated for so long, and angry that night that their leader's home had been razed to the ground. A number of Dr. King's friends and supporters gathered, and some talked about taking action against those who had started the fire. Their gut instinct was to act and punish those they deemed to be their enemies. One can understand why they felt as they did, and sympathise surely with their view that enough was enough. But instead of seeking revenge, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, the angry crowd dispersed and went home. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you. These words are difficult to hear, aren't they? And they're difficult to live by. And Dr. King was no stranger to the hardness of the challenge posed by these very words. It was something that he struggled with as he led the civil rights movement and continually faced slander and violence and death threats against himself and his family. He was one who had a lot of enemies, but he knew in his heart that equality and justice could not be established through violent means. For violence only leads to more violence, and hate leads to more hate. In one sermon preached when he was really up against it, Dr. King said, "We should be happy that Jesus did not say, like your enemies. For it is impossible to like some people. Like is a sentimental word that expresses a degree of affection. But how can we be affectionate towards a person whose avowed aim is to crush our very being and place innumerable stumbling blocks on our path? How can we like a person who is threatening our children and bombing our homes? That is impossible." But King said, Jesus recognized that love is greater than like. So let us ask, for ask we must, what is this love that Jesus spoke about? It's not simply a feeling or emotion. That's what many people tend to think love is, and partly, of course, it is. But the kind of love that Jesus spoke of is a love that reveals itself in action. It's not so much what we feel, but what we do. I find Paul's words in the letter to the Corinthians to be very challenging. Often they're words that I read at a wedding, but of course they are relevant for the whole of life. Here is a paraphrase of what Paul wrote. Love is acting in ways that are patient and kind, not in ways that are envious, boastful, arrogant, or rude. Love does not insist on its own way, but instead seeks another's good. I wonder how you feel about these words of St. Paul. They sound okay, don't they, here in church or our own home? But, and there is a but, how on earth can we acquire and have such an outlook and attitude as Paul asks us to have? How can we act in such a way towards those we may deem to be our enemies, those who hurt us, or betray us, or say all manner of things about us? How can we bless those who curse us? These are important questions, and they're questions that we have to own, and they take on an added meaning and significance in a world where the tit-for-tat philosophy prevails, and we see that very much in the world today. The answer to such questions, and there is an answer, is found in the life of Jesus Christ. His heart was so full of love that even when he was nailed to the cross, he asked God to forgive those who put him there. I came across these words spoken by Oscar Wilde that made me smile. Always forgive your enemies. Nothing annoys them so much. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you. I recall reading that love, the love of which Jesus spoke, is actually a choice. It is the decision to do right, even when we are wronged. It is the decision to bless, even when we are cursed. It is the decision to forgive, even when we are condemned. It is the decision to care, even when we are not cared for. The story of Joseph is, by any standards, incredible. And no wonder the musical Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat has earned worldwide popularity and continues to attract audiences to this day. Treated badly by his jealous brothers, and sold by them into slavery in Egypt. Joseph's life eventually took a turn for the better, and he found himself in a position of power in Pharaoh's household. As we recalled earlier, some years passed, and then Joseph came into contact with his brothers when they were in dire need due to a famine in Israel. The brothers did not recognize Joseph at first, and initially, it has to be said, he put them through the mill. He played a trick on them. And that emphasizes for me how hard he found it to love and forgive them. But then, letting go of any anger and hatred and resentment, any desire for vengeance that he had, and far from treating them as some would say they deserved to be treated, he asked them to draw close to him. He revealed who he was, and he told them not to blame themselves for what they had done. And if that wasn't enough, he made sure that they had food in abundance in order that they and their dependents might live. It's incredible, isn't it? It's one thing for us to hear the story, but to really think about it, to take it to heart. How could Joseph be so loving and show such forgiveness? I believe it was because of his faith in God. God, whose ways he did not always understand, but in whom he trusted and believed, even when he was a slave. Love is a choice, a conscious decision, a deliberate act. To love those who love us, well, that's easy. Even sinners do that. But to love those who ill-treat and harm us, that's difficult. But Jesus has demonstrated it is possible. And while we are not Jesus, we are called to be like him in the way we live and the choices we make. And that means the way we treat one another and the way we act. I wonder how many of you have been to New York. I haven't been, but I know friends who were there recently, and they told me it's an amazing city to visit, and I'm hoping that the next time they go, they'll take me with them. Why am I speaking about New York? In the United Nations building in that city, there is a large mosaic by Norman Rockwell that depicts people of all ages, of different genders and many nationalities. And embedded within the tiles are the words of what is called the Golden Rule. And what is the Golden Rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. These words we encounter today in the Gospel reading. Here is the great rule of love and life, and it is a rule intrinsically linked to our relationship with God, who through Jesus Christ shows us how to live as followers of the way. My dear friends, in the reign of God, what we do is not directed by what others do to us. In the reign of God, what we do is a response to the God who does not treat us as our sins deserve, but looks mercifully upon us and in love forgives us even when we struggle to love and forgive others. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Let's take a moment to reflect on Jesus' words in this holy place. Amen. The closing hymn is a great hymn with a fabulous tune, hymn 622, and what a great truth the words of the hymn proclaim. 622, we sing a love that sets all people free.
Thank you.
Go in the peace of God. Go in the love of Christ. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Spirit, be among you and remain with you, now and forevermore.